Welcome to Three in the Key.
The 2016 NBA Summer League champions, the Chicago Bulls.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Kevin, have you had a chance to talk to Russell Westbrook yet? And also, what could you say about where that relationship truly was at the end of your tenure there?
Yeah, I talked to him. Obviously, it was tough. You know, we were teammates for so long and had a lot of great memories. And, you know, I'm sure he wasn't happy about the decision, but he respected it as my friend.
And look out. Hello, Amari Stoudemire elevates and detonates.
Are you kidding me?
Devastating dunk here in Oakland.
With your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Welcome to Three in the Key, as Dean always says.
Oh, what a beautiful voice that man.
I'm in the intro. I'm finally, we knocked out Elias.
Finally.
He's gone.
Ugh, good riddance to that guy.
He is gone this week for an unexplained reason, but you're back.
I suppose it's his turn, though. Yeah, I am back.
How was DC?
DC, what a city. Incredible. You know, just hanging out with John Wall and whatnot.
You were just casually hanging out with him?
Shooting some hoops.
That's the best.
In like 47 degrees Celsius weather. It's like in the 90s for our American friends. I know there are many of you.
There's so many, at least four or five.
Oh,
like a handful.
Sure. And John himself.
Of course.
He's
got him listening?
Yeah, I'll tag him in it, maybe.
Oh, man, this has been brilliant. Thank you for tuning in this week with just the Will and Dave show and Two in the Key.
You guys did a fantastic job while I was gone, though. You got a full house.
We had a full house last week at U Ottawa. That was fun. We had the guys doing hoops ramp. We talked a little swish or miss as well. So that was really, really fun.
Let's quickly look at hoops ramp. What is my current world listing?
Oh, no. I still don't have it.
I'm dropping like a stone. Yeah, I know. You're really missing out. I'm 37th. Worldwide right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I tried to update my iPod Touch, and it won't update to be like the iOS
Unreal.
For it.
Unreal.
It's a joke.
That's
honestly
frustrating.
Because I feel like I'd be up there with you guys at least. Where are you right now ranked on Hoops Rant?
37th.
37th?
Yeah.
In the world? See, that's huge. I think that, yeah.
It's a big winner's circle, but I'm in there.
Yeah, that's fun.
Make room for me on the podium.
Make sure to catch us on Gmail or Gmail. Is it a hard G? You got to do the three. The three in the key with
sure
the number three.
Make sure you lodge into
yeah, that's right. It's a hard
mail when you do that. Elias usually does this stuff. It's much
exactly.
More...
We're a little more looser with it.
Yeah.
There's three in the key on Twitter, three in the key on Instagram.
On Twitter, we're BasketPod.
That's true, yes. Well, it's both, I think. You can search both. And then BasketPod on there. And then on Instagram, the three in the key. And then we're also on Facebook. And then check us out if you want to listen to us. You're probably listening to us right now when I'm telling you this. But we're on TuneIn, we're on Stitcher, we're on SoundCloud, we're on iTunes.
Everywhere.
And make sure you review us on iTunes.
You know what's pretty cool about iTunes and us?
Okay.
While on the subject, I actually have it set up so that I can automatically download our pod.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as it's posted, it's like, hey, you guys just posted a really sweet podcast. Why don't you download it automatically? And I'm like, yeah.
So you get the notification that you're coming in because you're subscribed, right? Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, man. So, like, subscribe to us if you feel the need and you want to get our stuff whenever you can.
And give us a review of whether it be good or bad because you keep getting bad ones.
I thought they were good. I thought unpolished was a compliment.
Not having a basketball IQ.
Hey. They mean on the court.
That's
mean
true.
On the court.
That's true.
I am very well.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are touched by our podcast. I think a lot of success stories have come out of it. They've become better people when they listen to this basketball. So let's get it in, man. Again, no Elias, so sad. I guess he's happy to be away from us for 1 week, I suppose.
We'll miss him, but we'll make do without, you know. He's kind of the brains of the operation, so we're going to have some fun today.
All right, so the big news of the week, I think, is another retirement. We had a couple weeks ago, of course, Tim Duncan retiring.
Yeah.
But this week.
Another All-Star.
Another All-Star, Amari Stoudemire. He's gone after 18 years?
Is
it 18? Or no, less than that. But he's
a six-time All-Star.
Yeah, he's been out of high school, and he's just killing it.
Yeah, and the last, I believe he's the last high school pick to win Rookie of the Year.
Yes, that's right, yeah. So he's
After LeBron would be the other guy.
And that's,
so that's pretty good company.
That's pretty good. I like that. No, I remember those teams. With those Phoenix teams with the Suns,
Steve
Clayton
Nash.
Richardson, and all. I really liked that team. I really thought they'd go at least to the final.
But they had some really good years, though.
Ran into some tough teams with the Spurs and the Mavericks. And
ironic that Phoenix apparently had an opportunity to bring him back this year, but they got a bit of a logjam in their front court.
Yeah, so all those draft picks. Was like, would rather retire than play with that Phoenix team. But what do you think about him staying in the Knicks? Like, he didn't want to come off the bench as much, or...
Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, he really did make a heck of a reputation for himself in New York, and I love when people tribute players that retire, and they put out like a lot of different videos and stuff like that. My mm-hmm. favorite one that I saw this week was him just about to hold out his hand to help somebody up, and then just pulls it away casually at the last time. Oh man, yeah, Amari Stoudemire. That guy definitely made his impact, like you said, out of high school. And
are you a Hall of Famer?
Ooh. I don't know about Hall of Famer. He's not a slam dunk, no pun intended, like Tim Duncan.
Yes.
That was
a different guy, though.
Absolutely, for sure. But I think Amare, there is room for him potentially in the Hall of Fame, but...
It's just tough when you don't have any championships.
I think there's going to be some lean years in the next few years for guys getting in, so he may actually have an opportunity to slide in on one of those later bouts.
Yeah, because he was never a guy who really chased the ring. You know, he went for the money.
But for a number of years, he was one of the better big men in all of basketball.
Because he could move, right?
And absolutely.
His dunking ability. I mean, I remember that his slam dunk contest with Nash there. That was fun. He just couldn't get that one dunk with the kick up. But again, that was... Yeah, Amari Stoudemire, I think...
Steve Nash may never have been an MVP without him, so...
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't think so either. It's tough because, I don't know, you could put a lot of good power forwards in that position, and Steve Nash would have made it look good.
But their chemistry was definitely special.
The way they worked out together every day, and they knew each other through and through, so I think that was a smart play. Another thing, bit of news, Jefferson not retiring.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson back with the Cavs.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that? I mean, obviously he just won a championship. Is that just the Cavs needing to round up their roster, maybe to fill a void if they don't sign James?
Well, you're looking at I think that's what it is. Yeah, he'll be starting front and center. No, I think, believe it or not, I think they will re-sign LeBron. And somebody's got to play the 8 minutes that LeBron doesn't play at that position every game. So, to me, Richard Jefferson's a great fit. He was actually sensational for them in the playoffs. Like, I may have said a couple things about Richard Jefferson, maybe not being at the prime of his career as the playoffs went on, but he made me look like a fool. My basketball IQ showing up again.
I agreed also. I felt like if Richard Jefferson's your best guy coming off the bench, you're in trouble.
But... he probably was their best guy coming off the bench, and having a veteran guy who can play defense and guard multiple positions despite being 35, 36 years old, why not bring him back for a veteran minimum? And obviously, he's still got the fire. I mean, there's something to say about leaving on a high note, but if you want to come back, I mean, you're going to have as good a chance winning in Cleveland as you will anywhere other than maybe Golden State.
That's true. Yeah, no, we're actually going to catch up with a Cavs blogger in a few from SB Nation's Fear the Sword, Justin Rowan. So that we'll touch on Jefferson there with him, and of course just Cavs offseason in general.
Will they? Won't they re-sign LeBron?
That's the question. I've really noticed. No one's really talking about that. It's been kind of under the radar. So it's kind of interesting seeing that happen. Now I don't know if you heard the rumors, but there was trade talks of Blake Griffin going to Beantown.
Yes.
And
who isn't going to Boston?
I know. It's like, well, I guess Al Horford's the only one. Like, I don't understand why everyone's like, Durant was also considering it just because of Tom Brady. But,
and Jimmy Butler for a time, too.
Yeah, that's right.
That a lot of talk weekend. At the draft.
But now we're reading here that Doc rejects all of those rumors of Blake Griffin even thought about being traded.
Well, you know, he's got a player option at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So... what is he going to do? Does he want to stay with the Clippers? Like, I mean, you're not going to get a better point guard than Chris Paul, but to me, that relationship may be damaged a little bit. He's had a rocky year, obviously, punching a staffer who they recently just let go this week.
Yeah, that's right. They let him go, but he was...
I assume they punched him.
Yeah, that's how they did it.
Get out of here.
Evidently, he was, like, good friends with Blake.
Yeah.
And he was, like... he was kind of like bugging him, and he took to, I guess what he was saying was like, hey, the Clippers are doing way better without you, Blake, like sarcastically, but sorry, not sorry situation. And he punched him in the face for it.
Yeah, it seems rational. I punch you all the time, Will.
Yeah, well.
We regularly assault each other.
Very submissive to you. It's very sad. But yeah, no, I think that Blake should find a new home, maybe. I don't know if people think that it's all daisies there in L.A., but I think it's DeAndre and CP, and Blake seems to be the in-and-out guy, and he sees what Durant did and kind of wants, maybe I should do that same thing. I don't see the Clippers really growing.
Well, I think if the Clippers do end up moving him, it's because they think he will leave on his own, and they can't afford to just have him walk away. I mean, he's their best asset. Definitely. As good as Chris Paul is, like, he's not the same age, athleticism. Blake Griffin's one of a kind in the NBA. He's probably the best dunker in the whole league. So, if Boston could get him, they'd have to give up a ton. It would be that Brooklyn pick swap that they have.
Well,
next
they have
year.
Assets, obviously.
Yeah, they've got tons.
And
for
Ainge
sure.
is, of course, willing. Yeah, to do.
Oh
anything
yeah, he's wheeling and dealing. I like it, and I really like the moves that they've made so far. Obviously, bringing in Al Horford, drafting Jaylen Brown, but. Yeah, Jaylen Brown may end up going the opposite way to bring in Blake Griffin if that happens, or Jimmy Butler, or whoever.
I think he'd be okay with that. The funny thing also with the Clippers is they've been talking about maybe moving away from the Staples Center.
Huh.
So not staying with the Lakers in the same building, and that would be easier for that crew. We've seen in playoffs where the Kings have made it, plus the Clippers and the Lakers, where they had to...
It's pretty crazy down there.
Yeah, they have to really work hard to... But, I mean... I think I was a big guy to actually even change the Clippers' name after getting rid of Donald Sterling, and I thought maybe they should change their name from the Clippers to something else, or like maybe just try to get rid of the whole era of the Clippers because they've been terrible for so long.
That's it. You wouldn't want to disrupt the honored tradition of Clippers basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Clippers basketball has been dismal at best. So it's I think that they should have changed. Something rather than even the name, like
do Clippers even exist? Like, do people still like? Aren't they boats?
Yeah, they are types of boats. Yeah, I don't think they're like sailboats, right?
Yeah,
I think they're not nail clippers or anything.
Call them
like
the LA Ubers or something. That'd be awesome. much more recent method of transportation.
No, I think I think there's different names you can call. I think they should be called, instead of LA, they should be called Hollywood. Would be a cool name.
Ooh.
Just call them I think the Hollywood Wolfpack would be amazing.
Yeah.
Just go full NWO.
Yeah. Like retro wrestling styles. I like that.
I think that'd be the best bet. But yeah, so there's been talks going after. I think they just can't, maybe don't want to pay the amount in for the Staples Center anymore. Or...
Well, hey, move out of town. Like, I mean, move right out of that downtown area and maybe get a bit of a regional crowd surrounding you. There's a lot of people that love the Clippers right now because there's no reason to like the Lakers. Elias.
But they still have their Lakers, obviously.
No, it's true. And, like, the Lakers are, like, they've got plenty to be proud about with their legacy.
But they always rag on the Clippers, and I think the Clippers should kind of
separate themselves.
Exactly, and make their own tradition.
I agree. It's not a bad idea.
Lakers own the Staples Center.
That's right. And you'd have much more flexibility scheduling and stuff like that. And, I mean, you could always use an extra venue for concerts and stuff in Los Angeles. So that wouldn't be an issue in terms of filling the building when the team is on the road. And I don't disagree. Why not just start fresh?
No, I have to go with that as well.
Especially now, after Blake Griffin leaves town.
Now, you're the big... you're the big rookie guy. You're the big draft board dude.
Yes.
People are saying the number one draft pick, Ben Simmons, he's the favorite to go rookie of the year. Do you have to agree with that, or do you have any other guys that might sneak in?
There are a lot of good players, I think, that showed up in summer league. I still think that Ben Simmons has the best opportunity to succeed next year, given where he's playing.
And yeah.
There's nobody going to be pushing him for minutes at small forward. I don't think Robert Covington's going to be stealing his slot in the starting lineup.
Right.
That being said, Covington may slide down to the two, or perhaps Ben Simmons will start at the four.
Are you excited to watch the Sixers team?
Ooh. You know what? I'm excited to watch Ben Simmons. I'm not super excited to stay up and watch the Sixers games all season. But
how dare you?
I really think that Ben Simmons is going to be worth the price of admission, and like his passing ability, his vision on the court, it's almost like magic. You
right.
know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I was watching him at Summer League. The passes he threw down.
Unbelievable.
It's just like he's still got that raw skill. Like, this is similar to what we saw Blake Griffin have when he came in. He just didn't have those skills honed yet. He didn't know how to contain his raw power and his skill set that he had. And watching Ben Simmons, it is beautiful to see him play. But, I mean, even watching Ingram play for the Lakers, he was doing very well.
He showed really well, too. Yeah. I think with Simmons, just to follow up on Simmons, I think that if he ever develops a jumper, that guy is going to be
unstoppable.
Unstoppable player. He's going to be unreal. Ingram, on the other hand, like, I think that Ingram's going to be a great fit in LA, and I think he's actually the better fit for that franchise right now, because it lets Russell handle the ball, which is where it needs to be. Like, Russell is in college, D'Angelo Russell was an unbelievable, like, point guard. He was able to make those incredible passes. He's able to drive in, dish it off to a guy like Randall, who's so good in the paint. I think that having a guy like Ingram on the perimeter that you can dish to, that nobody's covering, he's going to hit those shots. Like, he was a 40% from everywhere, almost 50% from the floor in general at Duke. But I've heard some praise for Ingram that I think is a little bit over the top.
Yeah, that's right. Your boy KD.
Yeah, KD. Oh, yeah. My boy KD came out and said that Brandon Ingram is the closest thing to him since him. I hope he means in terms of, like, the way they look, because they both weigh about 97 pounds soaking wet. But I just don't understand that at all. Like, Kevin Durant was the National Player of the Year at Texas. He was dominant. He was putting up 30 points most games. I don't think Brandon Ingram ever put up 30 points in Duke. It's a great program where he had the opportunity to dominate, and Grayson Allen just took over that team. So,
do you think if Ingram was anywhere else, say that, like, maybe a smaller school, not as big as those ACC schools, that he could be dominant, maybe similar to what Ben Simmons was in LSU?
I think he would have been pushed around, to be honest. I think that if the top guards were on him all the time, he would have had a lot more trouble. The reason that he was so successful in Duke, and like I said, he wasn't even really that successful, big picture. Duke had an off year, despite having one of the top two recruits. And I think that he would have had trouble on another franchise. And, like, last year was a really strong year for seniors all across college basketball. Like, he would have had a good player on him no matter what. But with Grayson Allen holding the ball for the most part in Duke, I don't know. I just don't see how it's comparable at all, other than the fact that they look the same. They can shoot from all over the floor. I still think Brandon Ingram's going to be a great player, and he was the second best player in this year's draft. I just don't think he's the next Kevin Durant. I think that's outrageous.
No, I have to
agree. Maybe the next Tayshaun Prince, a guy who can shoot from outside, defend a little, thin for his position.
Yeah, no, exactly. I have to agree with you, and I think that Ben Simmons is your rookie of the year next year, just because of the hype, and for, I think, especially if the Sixers are even in contention for a playoff spot, like getting that 9th or 10th spot.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge improvement right there.
There were some other good players in summer league. I thought Jamal Murray, a slow start, but he ended up finishing really strong with a couple 30-point games. That's a guy that can shoot, but he's not going to get the opportunity Simmons will, because he's stuck behind Emmanuel Mudiay. He's stuck behind Gary Harris. Like, they've got a lot. Will Barton. They've got lots of good wing players on that team and guards. Also, Chris Dunn. I mean, unless Ricky Rubio finds his way to Tampa before the season starts, he's just not going to get the opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's talk about the Timberwolves. There has been some talk now. We talked about Garnett. Maybe could have had an opportunity to maybe stay with the Timberwolves for his whole career, but he ended up going to the Celtics and then went to Brooklyn.
Not a bad move.
Not bad. No, I mean, he ended up winning the championship, obviously. But do you see Karl-Anthony Towns maybe staying in Minnesota?
I think Minnesota would love it if he did.
I mean, Love, there was an opportunity for Love to stay all that time, and he left.
I'm a Kentucky guy, as you know, and most listeners probably do too, because I wear it on my sleeve. But,
that's right. You physically do, yeah.
Karl-Anthony Towns is, like, a great kid. He's the kind of guy that isn't going to chase the money in a big market, in my opinion. I think he's the kind of guy that would stick with the franchise, especially if they're going to pay him. I mean, in today's NBA, max players get max money. No matter what market they're in, every team's going to have a $30 million player in a few years.
Especially if he's going to stay with the team long enough.
And if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm picking him over Andrew Wiggins, the Canadian kid.
Oh, for sure.
Because Karl-Anthony Towns is an absolute building block. He's already maybe a top five center in the NBA. He's only a rookie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that were saying, oh, how could you pick him over Okafor? Wow, the versatility, the athleticism.
It's all there. And imagine what Tibbs can do with him now.
That's it.
Yeah, so, like, I think that you'll see a lot of that too. And I think now that you have Tibbs and then you kind of build this core, like, that's a team I'm going to be watching a lot of.
You asked me if I was excited about the Sixers. I'm way more excited about the Timberwolves.
Definitely,
like, that team's going to be, they're going to make a huge jump.
I wonder, like, next year the Sixers get another pick, a lottery pick or something like that, then we'll see how interesting they will be to watch. I think they need a better coach still, but there's still some work. The other thing is, this is the huge thing that came out, that Russell Westbrook is very frustrated with Durant and his decision to go to Oakland. Is Westbrook going to stay in OKC?
Yeah, I know you guys touched on this. Yeah, but you haven't. The last couple weeks,
the reason why I'm asking you, because I want your two cents.
He's a UCLA guy.
Yes,
one of your guys.
I love him.
UCLA.
UC. LA.
Absolutely. Talented player, maybe the most dominant athlete in the NBA, Russell Westbrook.
Yes. Like,
one of the better dunkers, one of the better point guards.
One of those guys, like, almost had that Kobe factor, or just like has that takeover mentality. And that's part of the reason why KD might have left, because he thought what he thought was just selfish at that point, you know, and he wanted to go play with guys that pass the ball and move the ball around and get open shots.
I listened to Stan Van Gundy talking, or no, sorry, it was the other Van Gundy.
Oh, I can't think of it either. Just say Van Gundy.
It was that Van Gundy guy. Jeff Van Gundy.
That's who it is. The play-by-play guy.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy was talking about this with Adrian Wojnarowski, one of my favorite podcasts. I know, hard to believe I listened to ones other than this one.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But he'd mentioned that Kevin Durant has changed teams a lot of time, or not changed teams, he's been on the same team his whole career until he just left, but he's switched agents 3 times.
Oh, okay.
He's the kind of guy that isn't particularly historically loyal, whereas Russell Westbrook, it is the opposite. He's still friends with all the same people he was in high school. He married his high school sweetheart. He's had the same agent his entire career. It leads me to believe that he would be willing to stick it out in Oklahoma City if they do something.
Yeah.
If they can bring in a Blake Griffin. I mean, why wouldn't he stay there? It's as good of a market for him as anywhere. And he'll be the guy that leads them to a championship instead of Kevin Durant. And I think that he's got the talent to do that. But if he does leave, you better believe there'll be a bidding war. I don't think that Oklahoma City's going to let them both walk for nothing. So that would be the story of the year if Russell Westbrook gets traded.
What do you think more likely? What team would you go to, you think? I don't know. A lot of people think L.A., obviously, because of that UCLA reason. And, of course, he loves that.
Have to load up the assets. Like, it would be D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram plus, maybe, to get him. And is it worth it for L.A. to sacrifice years of rebuilding for one player, even though that player is... And the thing is, if he goes to L.A., it really ignites free agents wanting to come there. They become an absolute bona fide franchise again overnight.
But has that myth of New York, LA, Miami, those big markets,
Chicago,
has that kind of faded away now, where people are now going, like how Katie's going to Oakland? And
it's amazing, kind of the smaller markets are taking over, San Antonio, Oakland.
Yeah.
I guess it is kind of a myth. Because
nowadays,
even Oklahoma City, I mean, right up until a few weeks ago, they were one of the premier franchises in the league. And have you ever wanted to go to Oklahoma City on vacation?
Not during tornado season, no.
Yeah, or even at the best time of year. I wouldn't mind seeing a game there, but like,
I'd rather go see a Sooners game or something. Like, I wouldn't.
But like, that's not like when I picture myself as a kid playing in the NBA. Like, it's with the Knicks, you know. It's with the Celtics. It's not playing for the Thunder.
I know. You know, exactly. Like, and plus, those are the Sonics, man.
That's it, exactly.
Don't even
get me started.
I know.
Your guy, Sean Kemp.
Exactly. And this, you just mentioned, actually, San Antonio. Let's talk about their huge free agent signing that happened yesterday. He actually played for Boston last year. And
yes,
before that, he won a championship with the Warriors.
And he made an impact. David Lee.
David Lee, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I remember I got him mixed up with David West a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
I knew that would drop eventually, though. I knew he was coming. You know what? More veteran depth for them. That seems to be what they do every year. Load up the players on the twilights of their careers, get them on the veteran minimums, and have an impact bench. I think not having Duncan on their team, they'll have less to worry about this year. They'll have a more consistent day-to-day lineup. But having a guy like David Lee come off the bench, you know, he can still make an impact. So I think it's a great signing for them. And it's nice to see somebody other than Golden State sign one of the better veterans on the market.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Golden State lost the championship without him. And they won one without him. So I don't know.
Is he the missing link?
I think so. We'll see what happens here. But yeah, I think you're right. I think San Antonio will enjoy him off the bench. I know he's always been a good team guy. Even in New York, he was like that. So I think he'll be good. Pop will like him. and they'll be fine. I think the Spurs are going to be great. I think Spurs love this. They love the fact that the Warriors are getting pumped and their tires are getting all full, while under the radar, the Spurs can be sneaking in at the 2 spot or 3 spot, you know, and going deep. And they don't have to worry about the Warriors till the conference final. So
absolutely.
So I think this is a huge spot for the Spurs.
What do you think about Dion Waiters going to the Heat?
Has that happened now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
it looks like he's going, and there's been quite a few teams that have given up on this guy. He's finally going to a franchise that they've got the hole with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Waiters is funny because he thinks he's a number one guy, but he's for sure like a number four guy.
Yeah. he was like one of the least efficient players in the NBA last year, I'm pretty sure, coming off the bench in OKC. And I'm not surprised they didn't tender his offer. Like, I've talked a lot of smack about Dion Waiters this year.
Yeah.
Former Syracuse guy.
He's okay in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, no, he made some big shots. There's no question. And he does have the ability to shoot from outside.
I thought he'd go to Philly just because he's from there.
And because, hey, plenty of room.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
You want to be a number one guy. That's the team. You're
exactly.
A number one guy.
But I think, I'm not sure what kind of deal he had in Miami, but I think he'll be fine there, especially with Wade being gone. Now Whiteside's kind of been taking over, being the main dude there in Miami. So it's
a one-year contract.
Only 1 year? Okay.
With Miami. I'm getting the details.
I think, yeah, that's pretty good. Well, I mean, the thing is, there's no income tax in Miami. So
$2.9 million. I don't think that's what he thought he'd be making at this stage of his career after going number four.
Well, you know what? I think, watch out. I think Dion will have a good year in Miami. If he's signing a 1 year because he wants more money.
He'll be sharing the spot with Josh Richardson, who is a guy that I thought stepped up big time
for a
rookie.
Yeah,
and he almost hurt the Raptors when we were trying to advance in playoffs. So
we are the North.
We are, aren't we?
We really are. Well, that's going to be our first segment now. We're going to catch up with Justin Rowan of Fear the Sword, Cavs blogger for SB Nation. And maybe after that, even talk a little USA basketball in the third segment. How do you feel about that, Davey?
I love it. Talk about my guy Boogie.
Yeah, I feel so free without Elias.
Oh my God, that chatterbox.
He really is
unreal.
All right, let's do
it. Happy birthday, Sammy.
Yeah, Sammy boy, give it up.
It's final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hey, welcome back inside the Key with just Will and Dave. No Elias this week.
Just 2 in the Key.
Yeah, 2 in the Key, that old rule. It's a classic NBA rule. Is that more of a college thing, maybe? Yeah, it's more of a college thing. On the line with us is a sports blog writer for SB Nation's Fear the Sword out of Winnipeg, but he covers the Cavaliers, and they had a pretty good year this year. Thanks a lot for joining us, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Yeah, they had an okay year. I mean, you probably nitpick a little bit, but
no,
overall, it was probably successful.
Yeah, I would suggest, at least historically for the city of Cleveland, how did it feel to be a part of that run this year, to be following that and following such a great team, really, really meeting their expectations and going all the way?
It was obviously unbelievable. As somebody that's covered this team for a long time and flown down to cover them when I had to watch Earl Clark play at small forward and Andrew Bynum, guys like that. It's certainly surreal, especially to someone that's initially started off as a big fan of the team growing up as well. To see it all come together and see parts of the team like Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson that were there throughout the whole thing contributed in a big way. It made it more special. It connected to the former eras and stuff like that, and it was really cool to see.
Yeah, Justin, we just talked about it earlier in our last thing, but how about that huge signing, getting Richard Jefferson, the vet, back in Cleveland?
It's definitely good to have him back. I like that they also hedged their bet on Richard Jefferson with adding Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah.
Both kind of provided each other with insurance policies, as both of them are pretty old. But yeah,
they could probably coach
good to
now.
Have them back.
That's true. The Dunleavys have had some success coaching.
Yeah, they could probably coach both of those guys.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Dunleavy's probably more inclined to do that, as it's in his blood. But Richard Jefferson certainly seems like that type of guy that can connect with players.
What do you think of Lou's signing too for the for the Cavs there
for the rest of history.
it's definitely good to have some security there. Although I don't know how much security it truly is. When you have Mike Brown and David Blatt still getting paid for the next couple of years as well by the Cavs organization, but obviously there's different situations with those guys. Brown being hired for the rebuild, Blatt also being hired for a rebuild, but that timeline changed dramatically after he was hired with LeBron being added to the team. So I think there is more security with Lou. Obviously winning a title helps, but I think he did a good job and was deserving of the opportunity.
So the Cavs team, obviously they've had some, I'd say, minor adjustments throughout the offseason with Dellavedova leaving and Mozgov taking off to Los Angeles.
The big city.
That's true. Some big moves. but for the most part, their core remains intact. You got Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, the guys you build around. With the moves in Golden State, do you think Cleveland's got anything up their sleeve this season? Maybe a move to put them back into the running for, I think a lot of people are picking Golden State to win it this year with Kevin Durant joining the fold. Do you think Cleveland's going to make a similar move maybe? Or at least a move to push them into that conversation?
I think they certainly would be looking to make some sort of move. I don't know if it's going to be a dramatic change like moving Kevin Love. That certainly seems possible, especially with Golden State doubling down on their only having perimeter players plan of attack. The deadline is going to be a lot more difficult to kind of contend with when you can't stick Kevin Love on Harrison Barnes. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not Love is the piece that falls. If not, I do expect kind of minor moves to improve. Same way that the team added Channing Frye, they've kind of maintained their trade exceptions over the years to have that flexibility and add new pieces. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Amon Shepherd might be a piece that's shopped. I wouldn't be shocked to see him get traded prior to the deadline. But if they do make a move, I think the interesting question would be whether or not they try to go small and match what Golden State's doing, or if they make a push for a guy like a DeMarcus Cousins that can really punish them inside.
Now, the East have made some moves. We talked about Boston getting better with Horford. Pacers made some moves. I think Toronto's still in the mix somewhere. But
Even Jared Sullinger. That's a fairly significant move.
Sully's been doing well. But I think, is it pretty much generally contested that, oh yeah, the Cavs got it again this year. They'll be going to the finals once again.
It does feel that way. I mean, you can never completely count teams out in the NBA. Health is obviously a concern, although the Cavs did make it to the finals essentially with just LeBron 2 years ago when Kyrie Irving was dealing with injuries and Kevin Love was out after getting his arm ripped out of its socket.
Right.
But you never know. Nothing's guaranteed either for Golden State or Cleveland. But I think odds are, if you're a betting man, it's probably a fairly safe bet to bet that those teams are going for round three in the finals next year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet as well. Just from an outsider's perspective, they ran amok in the playoffs this year. There was no question. With the play of LeBron James in the playoffs, it was a pretty special year as a basketball fan to watch him take his game to another level. With the parity kind of happening in the league with superstars, everybody going to Golden State, I find it hard to believe that we'll see another MVP out of the Warriors this year. Do you think LeBron's gunning for that MVP this year? Do you think that he wants another one on his resume and this is the year he's got a chance to do it?
It really does feel like there is an opportunity from that, both from a media standpoint with all the goodwill going towards him and what's going on in Golden State. I've been of the opinion that he hasn't deserved it the last 3 years, and I had no complaints over both Steph Curry and Kevin Durant winning those MVPs. But it certainly feels like that opportunity is there. Russell Westbrook obviously comes to mind, but I don't think he's going to be on a good enough team to justify that. So it really does feel open for the first time in a long time, unless the voting, the way that voters go, has changed over the last few years. Because there's obviously a lot of pushback when LeBron went to Miami. They gave it to Derrick Rose. For reasons I still don't completely agree with, I thought if you're going with a non-LeBron candidate, Dwight Howard would have been the right decision. But it'll be interesting to see who ends up getting it, because I really do feel like this is wide open and an opportunity for LeBron to add another one to his resume.
Now we have Justin Rowan from SB Nation's Fear the Sword, but he's out of Winnipeg, big Blue Bomber guy. Was it? How disappointed were you that Wade ended up going to Chicago and not to Cleveland?
You know what? Not that disappointed. I never really thought it was going to be a super realistic scenario that he ends up in Cleveland. The fit wouldn't have been ideal, but it was just kind of fun from mocking Heat fans who have clung on to the Heat lifer and the Heat lifer tag and still kind of bitter and hashtag team petty, as they call it, about LeBron leaving, to have Wade leave as well. It was an amusing saga. It's fun. Tracking what's going on is what makes the NBA fun to follow all year round, even when it's off season. So it was fun to follow, but it's cool to see him go home. I don't know if Chicago's necessarily going to be in the mix at all. They're kind of a borderline playoff team with how much better the East has gotten. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on court, but I wasn't too disappointed to not see him land in Cleveland, as I didn't really have expectations of it being a realistic possibility.
Now, Kyrie Irving is another player that took a big step this year in the postseason. Obviously, the previous year he'd been injured and he wasn't able to contribute the way he wanted to. But it was pretty special seeing him hit some of those big shots late in the series that really put them over the edge and took that deficit back in the series. Do you think that Kyrie Irving takes another step forward this year? He's starting to look like he's got his health back and he's back into form. Do you think that he's going to evolve into one of the elite point guards in the NBA?
I certainly think that's a realistic possibility. You see guys coming off of Team USA regularly have career years, and last season for the bulk of the season, he was 23 years old. So him turning 24, having an off season to actually work on his game rather than just recover from an injury, I think it's very realistic to expect a jump in his production. LeBron has talked about him in the past that he believes he can be an MVP candidate, and if not win one, be in the discussion. So with the Cavs, who didn't seem that thrilled or that motivated to try in the regular season with something to prove, now that they don't really have anything to prove, I think a lot of their focus in the regular season is going to be centered around building up Kyrie. Because from adding pieces and stuff like that, their options are kind of limited in terms of improving to the level Golden State's on. A lot of their development's going to have to come inside from hopefully Iman Shumpert, if he gets better, that he improves, Tristan Thompson, and of course, Kyrie. So Kyrie being the most important part of that improvement, I think they put a lot of focus into developing him and trying to get him to that level.
Yeah, I can definitely see LeBron taking a step back and being like, hey, Irving, it's your year this year. Let's see what you can do. I wanted to ask you, actually, now with KD going to the Warriors, if they meet up for the third time and LeBron, I mean, barring health, everything's fine, beats them.
LeBron doesn't get health. It doesn't get hurt. He's a cyborg.
Yeah, exactly. He only gets cramps. What is it? So we. I want to ask you, if the Cavs and LeBron beat this Warriors team, is he officially top five? I know Cavs fans. I know LeBron fans. But I want your unbiased review here, Justin. Is he officially top five? Because it's not just that you win them; it's who you beat sometimes too. And I think this would take him over the edge.
This is the biggest test of all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be one of the most impressive accomplishments basically anyone's had. I think he had one of those already this year, coming back from 3-1 against a 73-win team. I know a lot of the coverage is already putting him in that top five. I guess it really depends how you clarify it or how you grade it personally, because if you're going off legacy, nobody's going to be able to touch Jordan going 6-0 in the finals, even though that type of mentality does reward losing earlier in the playoffs where LeBron has never lost in the first round, and Jordan has, having that perfect record on the greatest stage and the timing of when he did it, it's going to be tough to touch that legacy. If you're talking about strictly what is the most talented, like who would you take in an all-time draft, I would really struggle to pick five guys ahead of LeBron when you're talking all-time rankings. So I think that crown jewel would put him up in that conversation, but it really comes down to each individual person on how they classify things. Obviously, I would put him there. I already have him up in there. I probably realistically had him right in that conversation before winning this title. I think it cemented it, but beating that Warriors team with Durant would it would certainly solidify it, I think, for everybody else.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think that LeBron, particularly winning this title over the record-setting Warriors team, that puts him in a different conversation and right into that top five mix. Now, we like to ask some of our guests what they think of the Raptors. Now, you got a unique perspective, not only because you are in Canada, but also because your Cavs were head-to-head against the Raps in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, the Raptors have obviously had a pretty big offseason, re-signing DeMar DeRozan, bringing in Jared Sullinger from Boston, and they made some other tweaks along the way. They had a lottery pick. How do you think the Raptors look going into next season, and do you think they can build off of what they did in their best season ever last year?
Absolutely. I think they might be a better team than last year and still not win as many games. I think the East has gotten better. It's improved. I do like the addition of Jared Sullinger, who's apparently on the Kyle Lowry diet. As I don't know if you saw the photos of him recently, but he's slimmed down a ton. Raptors are a really interesting team to me because while they do have this great young core and tons of depth, almost all of them are young outside of Kyle Lowry, who's in the final year of his deal. So whether or not Masai Ujiri decides to kind of be aggressive in pursuing someone in the trade and using Lowry, that's obviously going to have some impact on their win-loss total. So it'll be interesting. I think they can definitely build on it. I think Jonas is primed to take a step forward this year. We saw in the playoffs. So I think they're going to be a better team regardless of what they do with Lowry. It's just a matter of what direction Ujiri wants to take and whether or not they're able to separate themselves from an improved Eastern Conference.
All right. Hey, Justin, thanks for coming on the line with us. Just a quick note, just let us know where we can find you online.com. Or is it .ca?
Well, you can obviously find me at Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cavs site, right for Hoops Habit as well, on Twitter, at Cavs Canada. So that's Canada swapping the C for just the plain C for Cavs.
It's a clever name.
It was the result of a really good Twitter poll, and I like that suggestion better than any other one.
Smart.
And I also write, do some freelance writing for The Snap, which is the CFL's kind of social blog. So
brilliant.
You can find me on a lot of different places.
Fantastic. Go Red Blacks.
Yeah, let us know when you're in town. We'll kick your butt, you big old blue bummer.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
DeRozan 360 and nearly threw it down. DeMar DeRozan, just because he can.
Wait, I got a technical foul
on the U.S. bench.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Hey, welcome back inside the key. Just Will the Thrill and Dave the Mave. I don't know what they call you.
Dave the Wave? I don't know. There aren't many good ones. None of them are positive.
That was a great interview with Justin Rowan there with Fear the Swords, SB Nation. But we want to get into the U.S. basketball team getting ready for the Olympics. They're doing their showcase. Had a couple games, played Argentina, smoked them, played China, smoked them. They played Venezuela.
Get out of town.
A little better luck,
I think, than the Canadian team had.
That's right, a little bit better. So, so far, so good for U.S. This is a showcase like no other.
Yeah, it's like looking into the future for the Warriors, it seems. Kevin Durant is leading the charge.
That's right.
21 points per game in his first two.
And then Klay's been doing well also, so he's been finding his open shots. It's been fun to watch, but they've been talking about your boy
Boogie.
Yeah, another Kentucky kid.
It's Marcus Cousins. Yeah, apparently Vladdy thinks he's the most dominant player in the NBA. What are your thoughts on that,
Vladdy?
Swish or miss? Swish or miss? Is DeMarcus Cousins the most dominant player in the NBA?
I would not say player. He has to say that because Vladdy, of course, is GM.
Yeah,
but I think Cousins is definitely.
Well, he's not saying that about Rondo.
I think Cousins is true.
But previously departed.
I think that Cousins is the best big man center for sure.
I would agree.
But I don't think player, obviously not.
Talent-wise, I'd agree he's the best center in the league.
Him and DeAndre, right?
Yeah.
And then that's it after that. But DeAndre, if you can hit his free throws, he'd be the most dominant.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think that, but I think Cousins just, he has a little bit more of an edge on athleticism.
I think that's the difference, too, is he can actually hit his shots versus a guy like, you said, DeAndre Jordan or Andre Drummond is another guy who's really
stepped
up. Whiteside's
not so bad, but I still want to see a couple more years from Whiteside.
Yeah, Whiteside's not versatile, though. He's a one-trick pony. Now, it's a wonderful trick. It's a wonderful trick to have, you know, being able to block five or six shots a game and, you know, being an absolute unstoppable force in the paint. But I think that Boogie, with his back-to-the-basket game and the fact that he can stretch the floor, he's starting to shoot some threes. He's a pretty dominant player, and I don't think Vladdy's way off base with that, but I can think of, off the top of my head, probably 10 players that are more dominant NBA
it's
players.
True. But he's still a top 15 guy.
Without question, for sure.
I think he's young enough to still see a future with him.
In reality, he should be the first team center every year.
Now, with these dominant games, is this what we see in the future for Rio in the Olympics, or what?
I don't see why not. There'll be a couple teams that push. I think that France getting in is good. They're going to have a strong team with Rudy Gobert and Tony Parker and Evan Fournier. Like they'll have a deep team. I think that Spain will obviously bring a really strong team too. They got so many good NBA players on their team with Rubio and the Gasols and all these different guys. I believe Ibaka plays for them as well.
That's true, yeah.
So they will be very strong as they usually are. But to me, it's a one-horse race. If the U.S. doesn't win this, even with their B squad out there, despite having Kevin Durant and all the guys we just mentioned.
B squad.
Yeah, well, you know, no LeBron. No Steph.
Yep.
A bunch of notable names, some former and current MVPs, not on the team. I still think that they're gonna run amok and all the way to the podium.
Now, what do you think about that backcourt? The Toronto backcourt being there, they've been fun to watch.
Yeah, I really wish he would have finished that dunk.
Yeah, there's a 360 dunk. He was trying to pull on a defender. DeMar tried to pull.
It was outrageous, and it was a borderline sign of disrespect to pull a 360 dunk on a big man like that, but it's almost shades of Vince Carter where he jumped over the guy.
Yeah, I think that guy was like 7'6", and like ruined his career. Like he'd never been seen to play basketball ever again.
Yeah, he actually just disappeared.
Yeah, he just faded away. No longer here on this earth. But yeah, I have to say that this they've been fun to watch, but this team is, like you said, it's their tournament to lose. They will have maybe one or two competitive games, but as we see from this showcase, they beat Argentina 111-74, they beat China 106-57. They're gonna play Venezuela tonight, and we'll see what happens there. But I think again, it's just the future.
And you know, it's a good opportunity for some of these guys. Like I don't think Kyle Lowry was even invited to the selection camp before everyone dropped out. So it's good to see a guy like Kyle Lowry make the team. We mentioned Harrison Barnes is maybe a surprise to make the team as well.
How do you think Harrison feels to be there? He's seeing Clay and Durant hanging out.
Well, you know, it's funny. Clay says he's in awe of Kevin Durant every time he's on the court with him. Well, get used to it, bud.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a good way to practice.
I wonder if Harrison Barnes is in awe of Darren Williams.
We'll find out. Look at Nowitzki.
You know what? That's a great pickup for the Mavericks. Losing Chandler Parsons and bringing in Harrison Barnes, getting a younger player, certainly more versatile than Parsons, but maybe not quite as good of a spot up shooter.
No, I don't think so either.
But hey, you don't see Chandler Parsons on this
exactly.
List, do you?
I mean,
so.
I don't think you see Harrison on this team if he was on the floor.
There's a few pretty good small forwards.
But I mean, they'd like to have. I mean, that's why Draymond's on the team too. They like to have the familiarness of the
familiarity.
Yeah, exactly. having a stroke.
A lyrical wordsmith.
The left side of my face is so numb.
Oh no!
And so
he's going crutching.
So then,
that's awful.
But I think that's a good joke. I think that's topical.
Has the statute run on that one
that's
yet?
Topical. Yeah. He's still the, the prime minister.
I like basketball.
That's pretty good. Maybe we should do a character, have Kretschmann come in and talk his basketball.
I'm here right now.
Whoa, where are you, Dave? This is really good. All right. Well, that's our predictions on the USA tournament. Again, find us on Gmail, the3inthekey@gmail.com. Of course, find us on Facebook.
Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, too, right? Yep. Like I did. Like
and,
me,
yeah,
I'm
exactly, yeah.
Smart.
Like Anchorage.
yeah, we are très bien.
There it is. And we also have SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio.
In the key.
Tune in. And then make sure you find us on Facebook, at BasketPod on Twitter, and the3inthekey
on
Instagram.
And we love the love. We even like the hate.
So yeah, give us the hater. Haters want to hate. That's okay with us.
Hate.
Have Kretschmann maybe actually have a review on us. That'd
be fun. We're just going to shake.
Yeah, shake it off, more or less, with Taylor.
All right, it's been swell. Hopefully Elias is back next week. You know what? If not, we're just going to have more fun, right, Will?
That's right. I think it's better without him.
Beautiful. We're going to leave you with the immortal words of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the Democratic National Convention. Have a great week.
See ya.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Jordan, and I'm here with Hillary. I said that because I know that Donald Trump couldn't tell the difference.